This is part 19 in our study of walking in the ways of the Lord. And the title of today's is simple, just two words, absolute truth. Now, we have talked about this in the past, but not this particular message, it's parts of it. You'll be familiar. It may even sound a little bit repetitive in some areas, but it's like you're baking two cakes and you make the one with flour and all the ingredients, but you get to the second one and you say, I'm not going to put flour in this one. Now what are you going to have? You're not going to have a cake. So when you, there are certain things, like I mentioned before, that when you take certain scriptures, they almost apply in everything you talk about. And there's certain points that you'll bring up in everything that you talk about. So, and I always encourage people, never get to the place where you let your mind tell you you've heard that before. Because if you ever do get to that place, what are you? You're carnally minded. And because you're carnally minded, the depths of what's being said in that particular message, particular situations and circumstances, you'll miss it because you won't hear the Holy Spirit. You've already predetermined that you know that. And the truth of the matter is, you don't. You never get to the place where you have the fullness of the word of a word or a scripture. You can spend time in a certain scripture for a whole year every day and still get a new truth on it in the next year. You know, it's just the way it is. But the moment you say, I know that, you've turned it off. So if you resist that, if that ever comes up, we'll say a few things that we've said before. So we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. I don't care how many times I study something, I see something new. How many times I teach something, I see something I haven't seen before. But we're going to talk about absolute truth. I did teach a message called The Absolute Truth of God's Living Word at the church a couple of years ago. And I talked about it in a Bible study at church. I mentioned it off and on whenever we're talking about the Word. I mentioned that it is absolute truth. But today we're going to get a little deeper into that and show what the Word says about it. We started on this particular section of our study on walking in the ways of the Lord. We about message number 11, we started talking about the characteristics of God, His nature, what the different parts of His character, what they are, and how they flow together. So we've been doing this particular thing on the character or characteristics of God since message number 11. So I thought I'd just go back and just mention a few things here real quickly. They're just going to be statements of what each part that we talked about. So in we talked about love in part 11 and 12. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking the love walk, because God is love, and as He is, so are we in this world. Then in part 13 and 14, we talked about mercy and loving kindness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in mercy and loving kindness, because God is mercy and loving kindness. In part 15 and 16, we talked about grace. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who has received and is walking in the free grace of God, because God has given His free grace to all who will receive His abundant free grace. Then in part 17, we talked about justified and made righteous. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who has been justified and made righteous by the free grace of God. By receiving God's free grace, that person is now in right standing with God. Then in the last part, we talked about holy and walking a holy life in part 18. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who can now walk a holy life because that person has been made righteous by the free grace of God. Now, we've talked about those from part 11 through part 18. And like I said, tonight we're talking about absolute truth. There will also be two other characteristics that will be brought in, and I'm not sure if I will just leave it at that. We will bring them up in our scriptures, and that may be all we'll do with those characteristics, or we may split them up into three. This may even be two parts. I don't think it will be, but it might be. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the absolute truth of God's living word. This person is word-minded in everything that they do. The word is first place in their lives. We must get to the place in our life as we walk through this world, this dark world especially, and as we walk as Christians, we need to be word-minded, not problem-minded, not defeat-minded, not an oh-worries-me-minded, but we need to be word-minded. And I mentioned several times we need to filter whatever we do through the love walk and through the word. So that person would be word-minded. Because you can't walk in the ways of the Lord any other way other than being word-minded. In order to be word-minded, you must put the word first place. Well, God's living word is absolute truth. When we read, study, confess, and meditate on the living word, we must do it believing that it is the absolute truth. If we don't believe that God's word is the absolute truth, then we're not going to get revelation on it. It won't do its work in our life. We won't be able to receive it and call it into manifestation. What will we do if we don't believe that it is absolute truth? We will treat it as a theory. We'll have other people bring opinions in. We'll be watching things to get information instead of getting it out of the Word. We'll be watching Hollywood movies to get a truth. Or we won't, if we don't recognize that God's Word is the absolute truth, we will let our songs be our scriptures for us. And they'll be wrong. The scriptures will be wrong. But we won't know that because we won't treat God's Word as the absolute truth. We will allow other truths to take the place of the Word. So I need to be convinced in my walk with God that God's Word is absolute truth. And if I do that, then when I have something that I think, or somebody comes up and they say something, the Word says this, and this is why God does this, well, by treating the Word as absolute truth, you'll know that's not true. You'll be going through Scripture and you say, well, there it is. But that guy said it's not true. Because you know this Word is truth. It's absolute truth. God's living Word is absolute truth. Well, if we treat the Word as absolute truth, what does absolute mean? You know, what do you do when you want to find the depths of some meaning? You go to the dictionary, don't you? Well, according to the dictionary, it's got several things it calls absolute. It means complete and perfect. If it's absolute, it's complete and perfect. Number two, it's free from limitations, restrictions, or exceptions. It's unqualified. It's absolute. You can't change it. There's no way to change it. It's absolute.
It's elemental.
Pardon?
Elemental.
It's elemental. Number three, it has unlimited authority. Something that's absolute has unlimited authority in whatever it's absolute in. Number four, it's undoubted. It's certain. It's the absolute truth. Now, you can doubt it yourself, but it doesn't change the truth. You know, I can believe the Word says something else, because somebody else said it does, but it doesn't change the Word because of that guy's opinion. The Word's absolute. It cannot be changed because it's God's truth. No matter what I read into it, it's absolute. Number five, it's not dependent on, conditioned by, or relative to anything else it's independent. So no matter how many theories you can come up with, that word's independent of your theory. Doesn't matter what you think. The word's the word. It's absolute. Satan cannot change it. No one and nothing can change the word. It's absolute. It's pure and it's unmixed. You know, sometimes we try to mix things with the truth to make it say what we want it to say. But the truth is the truth. You can't change it. God is absolute love. God is love himself. He's absolute love. God is absolute life. Absolute life. There's no death in him. He's absolute. God is absolute light. There is no darkness in him at all. He's absolute light. God is absolute truth. There is no other truth but God. He's absolute. God has and is absolute integrity. God is absolutely steadfast. Well, we mentioned that God is absolute truth and that the Word is absolute truth. Well, this is a definition of truth. A real fact or reality. Correct, purity, honest, sincerity, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. It's truth. Just like the Word can't be changed, truth can't be changed, absolute can't be changed. Well, truth can't be changed. If God and His Word are absolute truth, then they have absolute integrity. Well, what's integrity? Integrity is unchangeable. It's steadfast. Truth. It's faithful. It's trustworthy. It's incorruptible. It's perfect. So when I talk about God or His Word, we can say God's Word is complete and perfect, it's free from limitations, restrictions, or exceptions, and it's unqualified. God's Word has unlimited authority. It cannot be doubted. It's certain. It's absolute truth. God's living Word is not dependent on, conditioned by, or relative to anything else. It's independent. God's living Word is pure. It's unmixed. God's Word is truth. It's a real fact. God's Word is correct. God's Word has purity. God's Word is honest. God's Word has sincerity. God's Word is exact. It's exact according to that which is or has been or shall be. God's Word has integrity. It's unchangeable. God's Word is steadfast. God's Word is truth. God's Word is faithful. God's Word is trustworthy. God's Word is incorruptible. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is steadfast. It's fixed, firm in purpose, unwavering, firmly established, firmly fixed in place or position or stable. But stability. God's Word is steadfast. It's fixed, firm in purpose, unwavering, firmly established, firmly fixed in place or position, it's stable. So we're saying it's absolute. When you say God's Word is absolute, you're saying that it has truth, it has integrity, and is steadfast. And scriptures bear that out. God and His living Word are absolute truth. God and His living Word are one.
If you know, like, the old Latin and Greek, where a word like that would come from, the origination of the word, it's two words together. It's ab, a and ab are negative prefixes. And the rest of the word would be solution. And in other words, something that can be dissolved or diluted. But the AB, AB, is the negative that says it can't be.
It can't be.
It cannot be.
Yeah.
Into, you know, it cannot mixed be with changed. Anything else.
Yeah, it cannot become anything else. It's absolute. It's not a, the solution doesn't work. It's absolute.
Yeah. It's a, glory be to God. It doesn't include any kind of solution.
These are things that we need to have in our mind all the time. These are mindsets that we need to have where the Word's concerned. It's mindsets that we need to have where God is concerned. It's mindsets that we need to have in anything related to God and His Word. We need to know that they are absolute. When I find a promise in the Bible, it's absolute. It cannot be changed. It's absolute truth. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's an absolute. It can't be changed. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. As He is, so are we in this world. That's an absolute. Whether I'm living that way or not, that is an absolute truth. So when we see things in the Bible, if we look at it through with that context, it's absolute. Cannot be changed. No matter what I think about it, no matter what anybody or science or professors or anything else says, that's what it says. Now, it may lose a little bit in translation, but it's still absolute. It's His Word. And I'm telling you, God can speak Swahili. He can speak Egyptian, Arabic. The Holy Spirit can translate that word into exactly what it means. It's not limited to man's understanding of how to translate it.
Right. See, where the problem comes in is what the devil said.
Yeah.
Hath God said.
Hath God said. So then you start reasoning that out when you translate it. Just put it down like it said it. You don't have to understand it to put it down. So, God and His living word are absolute truths. God and His Word are one. Now, when I see that, and I know that, and I read it, and I think I understand it, do you the next time you read the Bible? See, so it needs to be something that we need to kind of analyze every time I read that. Every time I read the Bible, do I really believe this? Make a decision that if it says it, that's it. I don't have to understand how it works. Get the understanding of how it works out of your brain. Huh. You'll blow it if you try to start understanding the scientific way that that works. They walked around Jericho 7 times for 6 days, or 1 time for 6 days, 7 times the last day, and the wall fell. Now, you can reason that out, that there was faults under there and all that other kind of crap. But the Word says it fell. That's an absolute. It also says that the Red Sea divided. And they didn't walk over that sea in 1 minute. It stayed that way overnight, and it dried out, and they walked over the next day. So all that water was backed up, including fish, for all that time. One guy said one time, well, it was only ankle deep. Well, one minister said, well, that is an even bigger miracle. He said the whole Egyptian army drowned in 1 inch of water.
6 inches of water, yeah.
No.
Horses and all. All drowned.
They say it was at flood stage at that time, so it was a lot of water. But it backed up. It stopped. Now, if the Word says it, it's absolute. It happened. That's the way I need to treat the Bible, instead of trying to figure out how it happened. Like I said, we're going to do some scriptures we've done before, but we're talking about God and His Word are absolute truth. So you have to go to John 1:1, and we're using the Amplified. I'll just be a few minutes on each of these, I think. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. Now, you go to almost any translation that I've been able to find. I've got 18 on my computer, and they all say it that way. God and His Word are one. The Word is God, was God Himself. If you've got something else there, let me know, because I haven't found anything that says it any other way. God and His Word are one. The Word was God. Now, you can't get any clearer than the Word and God being one. God is love. The Word says it. God is love. See, I treat that as an absolute. I don't have to question the word is God. I don't have to question that. I know it's true.
I think that's why they put it in the past tense.
Yeah.
Because at the time, when he was writing this and there was that question.
Yeah.
I think he said, well, in the beginning was the Word. He was God then. He's God now. He's always going to be
been God.
You can take
this to the bank. The Word was God himself.
Amen.
So if it was himself, he never changes. He's still the Word. It's from 1 John 4:8. God is love, the being love. And we've heard that numerous times, and we're going to keep hearing it. God is love, the being love. And if God is absolute, then he's absolute love. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then in the same chapter, just a few verses down, he says it again. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There is one of the scriptures, and a few verses down, he'll say, as he is, so are we in this world. He keeps bringing that up, that he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. When you're born again, you become one with God. As he is, so are we in this world. So how plainer can you get? If God is love, and as he is, so are we, then we must be love. How did we get there? We were born of love. We were created by love, and after Adam separated, now we get born again by love. So what are we? We're born after our Father who is love. So we are love. God is absolute love. Because God is love, the being, and God and his word are one, then God's word is love. Sometimes you just have to step back and look at these things, because if God is love, and he is, God and his word are one, then his word must be love. Does that make sense to anybody but me? I mean, it's very simple to me. God makes things so simple to understand, and we put so much junk on it that we misinterpret it. But just make it simple. Now, remember, I just got insane, because God is love, the being, and God and his word are one, then God's word is love. Because God is absolute life, and God and his word are one, then God's word is alive, or it's absolute life. Because God is absolute life, and God and his word are one, then God's word is alive. Absolute life. God's word is alive because God is alive. God and his word are one, so because he's alive, his word is alive. And now, John 1:4-5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Light is light. God is light. He is. Well, light is light. You can't extinguish light. You can turn it out. We turn the switch off here, the lights go out, there's a certain amount of darkness comes in because we turn the switch off. There's no power. But that's not the way it is with God. God is light. He is absolute light. And in him was life, and the life was the light of man. We're born after him. He placed his spirit within us. Light is in us. We have his absolute light dwelling within us as absolute light. Now we can go to Hebrews 4:12. I keep using that word absolute because we need to have that comprehension. And the best way to get a comprehension of something is to repeat it to where you keep thinking about it. It keeps jarring our thinking. In Hebrews 4:12, we find, and this is the New King James, I usually use the Amplified, but this is the New King James, "For the word of God is living and powerful." Just like I just got done saying, if God and his word are one, then God's word is alive. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's because it's alive. Praise God. Because God and his living word are one, and God cannot lie, God's living word is absolute truth. See, I'm building this in a pathway here, showing that not only is God and his word one, God and his word is life, God and his word is light, God and his word is absolute truth. Now we see why it's absolute truth, because God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." So we see there that God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Well, at the crucifixion, this always fascinated me, in John 18, hopefully I'm not going too fast, in John 18, verse 37 and 38, it says, Pilate, he's in front of Pilate, and Pilate's questioning him. "And Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate asked this question. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" That is such a, to me, is a stupid question. The truth itself is standing in front of him, although he don't know it. I give him that. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and he just got done telling him, "I've been sent into the world that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" So what did he just confess? "I'm not one of yours. I'm not one of yours. I don't hear your voice." But truth was standing in front of him. You know, that one statement there says volumes. And I think how many people today, when they look at the Bible, they ask that question, "What is truth?" And we can read it and read the Bible and acknowledge it in our own finite way of thinking that it's true, but we still haven't settled the fact that it's absolute truth. We let people tell us what it says instead of getting into it for ourselves and find out what truth is. God's word is absolute truth. I've settled that in my life. I don't question it. I know that it's truth. And in John 17, Jesus, just a short time before being in front of Pilate, he settled what truth is. He was praying here, and he's talking to the Father, and he says, "Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourselves. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. It's truth. It's absolute truth. So what does absolute truth do? It sanctifies us. It purifies us. It consecrates us. It separates us for him. And it makes us holy. But only the word can do that. You know, the word can do it. If we're not in the word, it's not going to work. We have to be in the Word for the Word to work. Our next one is Hebrews 13:8. God's living Word is absolute truth. His Word is His bond. If He said it, He will do it. No matter what it takes, He will do it if He said it. God's Word is absolute integrity and absolutely steadfast. If it's absolutely true, then it has absolute integrity and is absolutely steadfast. Just as God never changes, God's nature or His ways do not change. Neither does His Word. When I find out the ways of the Lord, when I study these ways and His character is not going to change. It's absolute. It cannot change. If He changes one thing, there is no more God. And guess what happened to us? We don't exist either. There will be absolutely nothing if God ever lies. He guarantees truth with Himself. And there's, I forget where that scripture is, but there's a scripture that says that, where He swore by Himself because there were no greater one to swear by.
That's in chapter 9, ain't it, or 8?
I think so. I'm not sure. I just thought about that just now, so I didn't look it up. In Hebrews 13:8, the Word simply says, which is absolute truth, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what's God? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are unchanging. God's ways are unchanging. Now Psalm 111, verse 7. The works of His hands are absolute. The works of His hands are absolute truth and justice, faithful and right. And all His decrees and precepts are sure, fixed, established, and trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever and are done in absolute truth and righteousness. That's the Amplified Classic. That word absolute is several places there in that scripture, because that's what the scripture is trying to bring out. His Word is absolute truth and is absolute justice. It's faithful and right, and all His decrees and precepts or His Word are sure and fixed. Glory to God. This is exciting to me. It builds my faith just simply by knowing this. It builds your faith and it helps you to stand in the dark times of life. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. God's word is absolute truth. Every knee will bow to His name. But He's magnified His name above His word. What's that tell you about His word here being absolute truth? If He's magnified His word above His name, then that means it's ultimate. It's God Himself. It's absolute. Glory be to God. That was the New King James. That was the New King James. And now, Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever. How long is that? There's no time at all involved. It's very, very long. I can't say a very long time, because forever there's no time involved. It's absolute. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, stands firm as the heavens. So if it's settled, is that absolute?
Yep.
To me, that says it cannot be changed. God's word is settled, even in heaven. It cannot be changed. I like meditating on those things because it gives me faith when I take a scripture and I confess it. I know those angels are using it because the word says it. It's absolute. Those angels hearken to it. It's also his word. They will carry it to pass as long as I believe it and stay firm with it. If I'm convinced it's absolute truth, then it's a lot easier for me to stand on that word. It's a lot easier for me to resist doubt because there's no room for doubt. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what science says, what nature says. Nature and science line up with the Word, not the Word with science and nature. Without God, without His Word, there would be no science. There'd be no nature. It's absolute. I may not understand it. I may not understand how it works. And I may be one of those eggheads that like to see how it works. And it can't be right, and the Bible can't be right. That can't be so. So it's got to work by some other way. Like finding the end, going to the end of the universe. Well, you're never going to get there because it keeps expanding. You know, I mean, if God is light, I don't have to understand where light comes from. I don't have to understand the Big Bang. He said, light be, period. That's a Big Bang, you know. That's all I need to know. I don't have to understand the science behind it because when he said that, science came into creation. Someday they'll figure that out. But it's simple to me. It's right here in the Word. I mean, I'm not knocking science. I just think science that don't line up with the Word isn't science. All true science lines up with the Word. Okay, now that I'm off my soapbox, 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord, divine instruction, the gospel, endures forever. And this word is the good news, which was preached to you. So the word that's being preached, it's forever. It's absolute. It would not be forever if it was not absolute truth. It's absolute. God's living word has absolute integrity and is absolutely steadfast. God's living word is absolute truth. God's living word endures forever. It never changes. In order for the living word to work in and through us, we must choose the living word and allow it to abide in our hearts. See, it doesn't change its truth. If the word abides in my heart, or if it does not, doesn't change the word. It's still the absolute truth. But if I take the word and I receive it and set my mind and heart on that word, believing it, then that word will abide in me. And that is the word that will bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth harvest. But when I start doubting the word, what does the word say in James? He who doubts will not receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because it works by faith. And you can't doubt and walk in faith at the same time. I need to have it settled. God's word's absolute truth. Then that word that abides in me will bring forth fruit. It will, because it's abiding. John 15:7, if ye live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. People leave off that first part. They like, ask what you will and shall be done for you. I asked, it wasn't done for me. Well, did you read the first part of that? Well, it says, ask and it shall be done for you. I ask. It wasn't done for me. No. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me and my words, two different things, remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, then ask. Because now you're connected. Now the word's abiding. Now the word can bring forth fruit. Because it's absolute. It has to bring forth. See, that's what we need to understand, why it's so important that we understand its absolute truth. So when I take that word and I put it in the soil of my heart, I know that it's going to come forth. When you pray based on the word, it's absolute. It will happen. If something's not happening, then either you're not accurate on it, you've got strife in your life somewhere, there's unforgiveness, there's something disconnected somewhere, because it's never the word's fault. The word always works. Or it's simply not harvest time yet. It's in process. Or I myself have aborted it, or there's a hindrance to it somewhere. But it's never the word's fault. It's absolute truth. If God said it, it will happen. So I can eliminate the word from being at fault. I can eliminate it being God not wanting to give it to me. I'm not right somewhere. So it's me. It's not God. See, I need to be convinced of that. Everything that God does, no matter what it is, He does it by and through His living word. And God will teach us and guide us by His living word. Psalm 32:8. I love this scripture. This is New King James. And see, I need to remember everything God is doing, everything He has done, everything He will do, is coming through the Word. The Word's involved in everything He does. Psalm 32:8. This is God saying this. I, or God, will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye, and some says my eye on your path. I will guide you. He will instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go. But what do I have to do there? He doesn't just automatically do it. I have to position myself so that He can do it. And I have to believe it. See, if I haven't positioned myself to believe that God's word is absolute truth, then He can't teach me. He can't reveal it to me by His Spirit, because I don't really believe it. I'm questioning it. And I don't question the word. I'm not going to question it. I may not understand it, but there's nothing in there says I have to understand it. He says He will teach me what I need to know. He will guide me with His eye on my path. I love that. He will guide
me. Verse 7.
Huh?
Did you look at verse 7?
Verse 7. Go ahead and read it. I know.
Well, it's the song, Thou Art My Hiding Place.
Right. That's I started to put it in here and I didn't, because I was focused on what I was saying. David says this to God, and then there's a Selah, or a pause. And he stops and waits. And then he comes up, then God speaks. The reason you wait is to position yourself to hear. And that's what that scripture is bringing out. It's bringing out the fact, I'm saying something, and I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting for Him to respond. And because I've made a declaration, I've positioned myself to hear, now I can hear Him. He responds back to what David said. And he said, I will instruct you. You're my hiding place. You're coming to me to be my hiding place, or to be your hiding place. So I will teach you and instruct you in the way that you should go. You go over here, you do this. And because you do this, now I can take care of you there. Like one time they were attacking and everything, and God told them to go over here, and when you hear the rustling in the
mulberry
trees, then you can attack.
Oh.
That was some angels up there rustling the leaves, I guess. But he said, David was going to go to another way. But God told him not to. He go over here. Why did he tell him that? Why was David able to hear that? It's because he positioned himself.
Yes.
He was listening. See, he was waiting on the Lord. So God was able to instruct him what to do. That's where Joshua got his battle plan for Jericho. God told him how to get it. Meditate in my word day and night. So as Joshua did what he was instructed to do, God was able to give him the battle plan. Mm-hmm. We need to take lessons from these things when we're going through struggles. I can use this as an absolute truth. Lord, your word says you'll instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go. It says that you'll guide me with your eye. So Lord, I'm going to take time right here to position myself to hear you. I'm going to listen. Pray in tongues, that's a good way to do it. But listen to the voice of the Spirit inside. It may take a little while. And it may be the next day or two before you hear. But He will teach you. The Word of God will give us all the light that we need every day of our lives if we will allow it to. So He will provide the light. And you know where I'm going. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we talked about that before. The lamp shines at my feet and the light is on my path. But it's the same light. What is the light? It's the word. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and then it's got an and there, so it's a conjunction, joining the two thoughts. So he's still talking about the word. Your word is a lamp to my feet, or it's in my now moment. It's showing me where I am and teaching me in my now what's going on in this now moment, and a light to my path. So the same word, he's teaching me where I am and bringing revelation to me where I am, teaching me how to make my choices where I am, but he's also showing me how my now moment will be applied and where I'm going. He's actually showing me both at the same time. Do this in your now for the future. You know, he's teaching me both how to respond. He's using the word to do that. If we are to walk in the ways of the Lord, we must be a person of the Word. The Word must be our life. If we live by the Word of God, we will never have to be in the dark again. I want to say that again because we don't realize this. If we treat God's Word as absolute truth, we believe it's a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. If we believe it's absolute that He will teach me and instruct me in the way that I should go, He'll do it by the Word and by the time that I spend with Him and in His Word. If we live by the Word of God, or we're Word-minded, we will never have to be in the dark again. We will not have to grope blindly along, struggling to find our way through this life. We will not have to remain in confusion about which path to take. God will teach us how to choose. He will teach and guide us by His living Word. I need to be convinced of that. You know, all of us, we have faced struggles in our life, and I got a little secret for you. There will probably be a couple more in our future. You know, more than likely, we'll have some difficulties, some things that we don't understand, some things that we wish would be different, some things where we make a mistake and dig ourselves a hole, and we can't see a way out. Well, there is a way out. He is the way.
Amen.
Out of that hole. And He always makes a way where there isn't one. But I've got to be convinced of that. I've got to believe it. Well, I won't have to grope around in the darkness.
Amen.
Because I'm not in the darkness. no matter how dark this world gets, I'm in the light. It may even be dark where I'm standing, but he is my light at my feet. And even though it's bitterly dark, my path is still visible because he's showing me. And in this mess that we're living in right now, it's pretty dark. But it's not as dark as it's going to get. So if I'm not doing this now, well, then I won't be ready then. But if I am doing it now, if I am believing it, if I am in the Word, if I am trusting Him and practicing the Word in my daily life, then when that darkness gets here, I'm well ready. I won't have to worry about it. He will take care of me and my family and watch over me and show me my steps. Hallelujah. And together, we're a pretty bright light.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is love. God and His Word are one. God and His Word are absolute light. God and His Word are absolute truth. I need to be convinced of that. We can know these truths, can know them, and still not have them working in our lives. And that's sad. If we know things, if we know the truth, why aren't we working that truth? Why aren't we living it? Why aren't we doing something about it? We must receive, believe, and act on these truths. That's our job. These truths must move from just head knowledge to heart knowledge. And there is a big difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And something that I think I know may just be head knowledge. That's another reason why we need to hear things over and over again. Why we need to practice these truths. And why we need to spend time meditating on them and thinking about them. Because somewhere along the line, if it is head knowledge, it'll drop into our spirit. A revelation will come. And I know we've all had that where you read something and boy, all of a sudden, I didn't see that before. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Holy Spirit teaching us. We didn't need it back then. We need it now. So He's teaching us what we need to know.
Or we weren't ready for it.
Or we weren't ready for it. There's other ingredients that had to come in before that truth could be made. Or I had to position myself for it. A lot of times we'll read it and just jump right over it and not even spend enough time into it to catch what it's saying. That's the good thing about a devotional. You can read it. Nate and I got a couple of the same ones. And we go over them. It's been about the fourth or fifth time I've been through them. They're a year long. They're daily. But I still see things I didn't see last year or the year before because it's a living word. It's things that I'm going through things now that I wasn't then. And it's so neat when you read something and you walk through your day and that applied. It's just awesome. Build your faith in that word and renew your commitment to it. That's something we must do. As I laid this out, I put this confession with it. So I'm going to go ahead. I think I got enough for us. I gave this to you before, but you may have misplaced it or whatever. So I'm going to do it to you again. As we confess this, let's believe it. Let's believe it. And you're talking to the Father here. So it's, Father,
in the name of Jesus, I commit myself to walk in your word. I recognize that your word is integrity itself, steadfast, sure, eternal, and I trust my life to its provisions. You have sent forth your word into my heart. I let it dwell in me richly in all wisdom. It does not depart out of my mouth. I meditate in it day and night so that I may diligently act on it. Your word is an incorruptible seed abiding in my spirit, and it's growing mightily in me now, producing your nature in your life. I thank you, Father, that your word is my counsel, my shield, my buckler, my powerful weapon in battle.
It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It makes my way straight before me, and I never stumble or fall, for my steps are ordered by your word. I recognize the strategies and deceits of Satan, and I put a stop to them by speaking your word out of my mouth in faith. I am confident, Father, that you are at work in me, both to will and to do your good pleasures. I exalt your word, I hold it in high esteem and give it first place in my life. I boldly and confidently say that my heart is fixed and established on the solid foundation of the living Word of God. Amen. Well, Father, as we confess that today, we believe it. And Father, we ask that it be manifest in our lives. Father, we thank you for this study that we've had tonight, for your Word really is absolute truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you're revealing that to us. Thank you, Father, for bringing that up in us by your Spirit as we go through the daily struggles of life, that we can know, that we can get a hold of your word, and it will bring forth life. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.